Hey, welcome to the Vineyard, everybody. Welcome to those of you joining us online, and happy 4th of July weekend, everybody. So glad you're here today. Hey, and while we're applauding, can we make some noise and welcome in our online audience? Come on, online audience, come on. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us. My name is Kevin, and I'm one of the pastors. So this weekend, we are in episode 3 of a series that we're calling Samson. And Samson is a guy in the Bible that had this incredible potential, this amazing possibility. And as I'm looking out at you, I'm seeing the same thing. I mean, you have amazing God-given potential, God-given gifts, abilities, talents. And I think, honestly, I think that if we would get a glimpse of the potential that each of us has, I think it'd blow our minds. I really do. But you've got so much potential. And my dream for you, as pastor of this church, my dream for you is I want to help you become everything God designed you to be. That's my goal. That's my dream for you. And look, if we will align our hearts, our minds, our wills, and our emotions to God, I believe there's absolutely no limit to what God can do in and through us. And so we're looking at this guy, Samson. Because unfortunately for Samson, Samson was a guy who had so much unrealized potential. And so if you're joining us for the first time this weekend, Samson was a guy in the Bible a couple thousand years ago. Samson was an Israelite. He was a Jew. And the Israelite nation at that time was in captivity to the Philistines. And so God said, you know, it's long enough that my people are in captivity. So he raised up this guy, Samson. And from the earliest moments of Samson's life, from the time he was a boy, you could see the hand of God on this guy's life. And Samson had this supernatural strength that was beyond anything any human being could do. There was a time when a lion attacked and Samson just grabbed the lion and ripped him apart with his bare hands. It kind of reminds me of picture of the Hulk fighting the wolf in Thor Ragnarok. Any Marvel fans in the house? Okay, we got 6 of you. Fantastic, okay. That went over so well. Okay, but Samson, for all of this amazing potential that he had, he squandered most of it by making bad decisions and bad choices again and again and again. And we looked at that over the past 2 weeks. Right? So here we are in week 3, hoping that Samson will turn it around, that Samson will get it together. He'll start making some better choices and start realizing his God-given potential. Here we are in week 3. So how many of you think here we are in week 3 that Samson can turn it around? If you're joining us online right now, put in the chat, yes or no, yes or no. Yes, Samson's going to turn around. No, you don't think he's going to turn around. I'm just curious, in the room today, how many of you, yes or no? How many yeses? How many think today's the day Sam's going to turn it around? Okay, today's the day. Okay, look, here's the answer. No, not today. But you know what? You got to come back next weekend for part 4. Because in part 4, at the end, spoiler alert, at the end of Samson's life, he makes a choice. He makes a decision to turn it around. So you gotta come back next weekend and see how the movie concludes here, the Samson series concludes. But for this weekend, he's still making poor choices. But it raises a question. How does this happen? How does this continue to happen in Samson's life? I want to talk about that today. So if you could do me a favor, if you could find an outline. Here's how you find an outline on our Miami Vineyard app. So if you're online or you're in the room, you can find the app in a couple of different ways. You can find it on the App Store, your App Store, just search Miami Vineyard. Or if you're in the room today, in the seat back in front of you is a card with a QR code. Take your camera, aim it at that card. You can scan it in and you can locate the outline. The outline is more than, the app has got more than the outline. It's got all kinds of stuff about our church and it's kind of your church on your phone. So you might want to locate that. So there's a couple, you can actually type in some answers there if you want to follow along with me. So here we go. How does this happen? How does Samson keep ruining his life? Okay, notice this sentence at the top of the outline. Samson didn't ruin his life all at once. He ruined it one step at a time. And if you think about life, that's the way it goes. If you think about anything, think about people. Think about things and places and restaurants and hotels and buildings. They don't go downhill all at once. It's one step at a time. It's the little things. 2 weeks ago, I drove my daughter back to grad school in Bloomington, Indiana. Here's a picture of my daughter, Sarah, and I making that trip. We took a road trip together, 20 hours over 2 days driving. From here, from Cutler Bay, where we live, we went from here to Chattanooga, Tennessee in 1 day, and then from Chattanooga to Indianapolis the next day. And so I thought it'd be fun to stay, for my daughter and I, to stay at the same hotel we stayed at when she was younger. And so, because when we were traveling, some of you know that I'm from Wisconsin, my wife's from Iowa, from the Midwest originally, been here for a lot of years. But we would travel with our family in a van up and see the family up in the Midwest, and we would always kind of take the same track. We stayed at this hotel. So there's a lot of great memories at this hotel. And so we thought, well, let's stop at the same hotel. You know, and she hadn't been, you know, to that hotel in about 10 years. And so we get to the hotel, we get outside of Chattanooga. It's been a long day. We drove, we had all kinds of stuff happen. We had the helicopter from fire rescue land in front of us at one point, and this traffic would just stop. So, I mean, I'm getting this hotel. I'm spent. I'm just ready for a good night's sleep. But from the moment we got to the hotel, I could tell that this thing had gone downhill. I started walking up to the front entrance. I noticed there's trash laying all over the place before you walk into the place. And I'm thinking, oh, this is not good. And then I get inside. And I'm not kidding with you. I get inside. My daughter Sarah is standing next to me. And we waited 20 minutes for the person checking guests in to acknowledge that we were there. They were having a conversation with somebody else, just shooting the breeze. And we stood there 20 minutes waiting. I'm from Miami. Miami's not known for its patience. And my daughter, who says nothing to anybody anytime, she's kind of quiet. She says, Dad, you're going to say something? Believe it or not, I didn't say anything. I just got angry. So I had to listen to last week's message again, all over again, to know how to handle anger. Finally, they acknowledged that we were there. We checked into the room. We get to the room. Curtains are kind of falling off the curtain rods. I'm going, this is a horrible experience. And you're going, well, Pastor Kevin, why didn't you just get a different hotel? Because it was late at night. It was too late. We had traveled 14 hours. I was tired. We didn't get another hotel room. And we spent the night there, but I thought about this hotel that our family used to go to all the time that really enjoyed. And I asked myself, what happened? You know what happened? I'm guessing it was a slow decline. I'm guessing that all that I saw didn't happen the day before. It was the little things. It was a little thing here and a little thing there and a little thing there and a little thing there. And all those little things eventually add up and they become a big thing. See, folks, it's the little things. It's the little things. There's a cumulative effect. It's the little things. And Samson didn't ruin his life all at once. It was the little things, one step at a time. So, look, we pick up the story on your outlines, Judges chapter 16. By the way, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, on your phone, whatever, you can follow along. We're in Judges chapter 16, verse 1. It says, one day Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. Listen, bad decision. Bad decision then, bad decision now. Bad decision. But here's what you got to know. Gaza, the city of Gaza, where Samson was located, it was a 25-mile walk for him to get to where he was to Gaza. 25 miles. Do you know how many steps that is to walk 25 miles? I figured it out. Actually, Google figured it out for me. 56,000 steps. 56,250 steps. So here's Samson. He's walking along 56,000 steps to get to Gaza to spend the night with the prostitute. 56,000 steps. Now, do you think at any one point in Samson's life, in 56,000 steps, he might say, at one step along the way, he would say to himself, Samson, this is not a good idea. Samson, this is a bad idea. Samson, you know you're not supposed to be doing this. Samson, this is not a good idea. He had 56,000 opportunities to make the right decision. But did he make it? No. He made the wrong decision. He made the wrong choice, and those steps accumulated. So he goes into this prostitute, which is bad enough. But you got to understand, Gaza is in the heart of the enemy territory. It's the capital city. And it's the heart, it's the capital. So the Philistines are right there. Gaza's the headquarters of the Philistines. They're the enemy. What could go wrong? See, this is what happens to us when we begin to compromise and make choices we know are not God-honoring. It's always just one step at a time. You know, people don't mess up their lives all at once. They mess up one step at a time. It's the little things. See, no one sets out to mess up my marriage. Okay? I'm going to wake up today and I'm going to mess up my marriage. Nobody says that. It's the little things. It's the conversation over here with somebody else you're not married to. It's the lunch. It's the flirting, the little bit of flirting. It's the text, and it's the little things. And before long, the little things become a big thing. It's not spending that time with our spouse we need to. It's not prioritizing them like we need to. It's the little things. It's the little things. And before long, the little things add up to a big thing. It's the little things. Or financially. I don't know anybody who sets out to say, I want to be financially broke. Well, who says that? Nobody says that. Nobody does that. I mean, I want to be really broke. I mean, I want creditors calling my phone all day long. Nobody says that, but it's the little things, right? It's the little things. We see a little thing here. We see a little thing there. Amazon here, Amazon there. We see things. We want things, and we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. And nobody does it overnight. It's the little things. Nobody buys 300 packages from Amazon in one day, but if you look over the course of time, there's a whole lot of Amazon packages that have arrived. It's the little things. And one day we wake up in big trouble, just like Samson. Notice verse 2. The people of Gaza were told, Samson is here. Now you got to realize, they hated Samson. Samson was their arch enemy. Samson was so strong, they couldn't do anything with him. He would do whatever he wanted to the Philistine people. They hated Samson. So now all of a sudden Samson shows up in the capital city. Samson is here. So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gates. They made no move during the night, saying, at dawn, we'll kill him. Now, how did those small steps, what happened in Samson's life to get to this point? I want to show you today the small steps in Samson's life that led to big trouble. So if you're taking notes, here we go. I'm going to give you just three things today that we will see these play out in our lives as well. Here we go. Here's the first one. Number one, Samson taunted the enemy. Now he's already in big trouble just being there. Samson is already taunting the enemy by showing up in the capital city. And then look what happens in verse 3. But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up, took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two posts, tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. So look what he's done. These are not some lightweight, hollow doors. These are the doors. These are the gates to the city. And Samson, commentators have said that these gates could have easily weighed over 700 pounds. That's usually what I lift several times a week, 700 pounds. 700 pounds. And they're not just any gates. These are the gates to their city. This is the front gates. This is where people go in and out of. This is their protection. This is their safety. Samson goes, he rips off the front doors of the protection, the gates of their city. And he says, nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to stop me. And he carries them out. So what's he doing? He's basically taunting the enemy. You're going, okay, Pastor Kevin, what if what if I don't have any enemies? Actually, we all have an enemy. You know who it is? Cats. Yeah, we all have an enemy. We have an enemy. His name is the devil. His name is Satan. You know, come on, Pastor Kevin, you can't tell me you believe. It's 2021. You can't believe in a literal devil. Oh, absolutely I do. And I would encourage you to as well. There is an invisible war going on every day for our souls and our lives. Every day, there's a supernatural realm. There's a war going on every day. In fact, look what the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8. It says, stay alert, watch out. Your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to what? To devour. See, this isn't just he's not trying to wound you or mess you up. He's trying to destroy you. And by the way, did you notice in that verse how the Bible compares the devil to a lion? It's from the cat family. Did you notice that? I just want you to notice that. I don't know if you caught that. You got to catch that. Devil, lion, cat. Okay, I don't see the connection there. But we've got to realize, folks, we have a very real enemy. The devil. He's after your soul. Look, the devil doesn't want you to reach your fullest, highest redemptive potential. He wants to take you out. He does not want you to realize your gifts and your talents and your callings and the potential God has in your life. He doesn't want that for you. So he's doing anything he can to take you out. So what does he do? He gives you opportunities. You know what those opportunities are called? Temptations. And he gives you temptations in your life. And sometimes for us, we think, oh, come on, man, I can handle that. And they end up handling us instead. We taunt the enemy when we underestimate the enemy by putting ourselves in places of temptation over and over again. Now, many of you, I would say most of you in the room and joining me online, most of you, you want to live your life the way God wants you to live your life. That's why you're here. You're in church. It's the 4th of July. That's a holiday. You could be anywhere you wanted to be, but you're here because you want to live your life in a God-honoring way. That's why you're here. And that's why we gather together. That's what we want for our lives. So, and I'm guessing that many of you, part of doing that is you want to honor God with your sex life. And so you've made a commitment that you're not going to sleep with someone you're not married to. You've made that commitment. And many of you in this room have made that commitment. But then sometimes we make that commitment, and then that same person, okay, you're together with your significant other, and it's getting late into the evening, and you say to each other, well, you know, what, you don't have to go home. Why don't you just stay here? I'll sleep in this room, and you sleep on the couch. And I say, right. What are you doing in that moment? You know what you're doing? You're taunting the enemy. You're taunting the enemy. You want to do it right. But you can't find yourself in that position, put yourself in that position because you're taunting the enemy. Or maybe you're somebody who struggles with alcohol. They say, you know what? I'm going to go to the bar just to eat pretzels. Not a good idea. What are you doing? You're taunting the enemy. So I just have three words for you today. Con mucho cuidado. Be very careful. In fact, look what the Bible says. Next verse says, those of you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't what? That you don't fall. Yeah. Yeah. Taunt the enemy. Not a good idea. And Samson's taunting the enemy. He's taunting the enemy. So it's the little things. It's the little things. It's taunting the enemy. It's a little thing. But little things accumulate to become a big thing. That's the first thing Samson did. Here's the second thing Samson did. If you're taking notes, Samson rationalized the same old sin. I know nobody here would ever do that. No. We would never rationalize the same old sin. Samson knew he wasn't supposed to be with Philistine women. But Samson had a thing for Philistine women. Now, why didn't God want his people with Philistine women? Because the Jews served and worshiped God. The Philistines worshiped another god. And God said, I don't want men or women. I don't want you being with someone who worships another God. I want you to be with someone who's aligned with you spiritually. In fact, God wants the same thing for us today. He wants us to be aligned with people who are the same spiritual journey we're on. Because what happens is, and I've seen it a thousand times, the person, if you align yourself with somebody who's not on the same spiritual journey you are, do you think that person brings you up or you think they take you down? Almost always they take you down. Almost always. So God knew that and said, don't be with Philistine women. But Samson had a thing for Philistine women. So here we go. Here we go. Verse 4 of chapter 16. Sometime later. Now this is after he was with the prostitute. That was a one night stand. That was one and done. So here we go. Sometime later, he fell in love with another woman in the Valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Some of you know that name, Delilah. Samson and Delilah. Here we go. This is Delilah. So this is the third time he's messing around with a Philistine woman. And I'm sure he's probably rationalizing it, right? Hey, man, love shouldn't have restrictions on it. I ought to be able to love anyone I want to love. It's no big deal. I'm not hurting anybody else. Come on, man. Everybody's got their one vice. This is my one vice. Besides, it's nobody else's business but mine. What's he doing? He's rationalizing his sin. And by the way, do you know what rationalize is? Rationalize is simply telling yourself rational lies. That's all rationalize is. Tweet that. So look what happens in verse 5. So the rulers of the Philistines went to Delilah and said, see if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so that we may tie him up and subdue him. So if you read on some more of the story, the Philistines bribe Delilah. They give her a lot of money. And she's a Philistine woman. She's more committed to the Philistines than she is to the guy she's married to. Plus, they give her a ton of money. So she bribed him. So she got him. She lured Samson. They bribed her, and she lured Samson into telling her where his great strength is. We pick it up in verse 17 of Judges 16. It says, so eventually, Samson told her everything. He said, no razor has ever been used on my head because I have been a Nazarite set apart to God since birth. If my head were ever shaved, my strength would leave me and I would become as weak as any other man. Now, so that's, he told her the secret. Right there, he told her the secret. But look, I want you to notice as he's telling her, notice this line. He said, because I have been a Nazarite set apart to God since birth. Notice, when he uses, I've been a Nazarite, he's about himself, I have been a Nazarite, I have been set apart to God since birth. You can just feel it, you can sense it, that in him at that moment, even as he's telling her the secret, you can sense it and feel it in him that there's something happening, that he knows he's been set apart since birth. He knows. Samson in that moment, I believe, is remembering his potential. He's remembering his destiny. He's remembering his purpose. He's remembering who he's created to be. And some of you joining me right now today, joining me in this room and online right now. Perhaps you're involved right now in something you know isn't right. You know it's not right. You know it's not God honoring. You've compromised. You've rationalized a sin. You've made excuses. But you know deep down in you is still this potential and this possibility in you that God's given you. You know that. You sense it. You feel it. I believe just what Samson was doing in this moment, that you know that God's made you for a purpose. You know that. You can feel it, that God made you for more. And I believe that right now in this moment, I believe that God is calling some of you back. He's calling you out of that moment and back into what he's called you into. He's calling you out and into. And I believe God is doing that right now in some of your hearts. That you know there's so much more. You know that God wants you to go on this path. You've been on this path, but he wants you on this path. And right now is your moment. Right now is your opportunity to say to God, I want to be back on your path. I know there's so much more in me, God. I know that you have so much more for me. God, I want to be on that path, that you are made by God for a purpose. Some of you right now, I know I'm reading your mind. Some of you are going, Pastor Kevin, it's too late. Read my lips. It's never too late. With God, it's never too late. It's never too late. It's never too late. Pastor Kevin, I'm past my prime. It's never too late. It's never too late. As long as your lungs are breathing air and your heart is beating, it's never too late. You know, this is why I am so excited what's happening in this room in 2 weeks. Now, next week, and I'm excited about next week, because next week we wrap up the series on Samson. You got to be here for the conclusion of Samson next weekend. But the weekend after, we're going to be having in this room water baptisms. I love water baptism weekend. We're going to have a big tub of water over here set up on the weekend. And what's going to be happening is this. We're going to be lowering people into the water and bringing people back out of the water. Now, you're going, well, Pastor Kevin, what is all of that? Okay, here's what this is. That once a person makes a decision to follow Jesus, and many of you have made that decision privately, like whether you stood in this room or you texted in the word commit to a text number or whatever, you lifted a hand or you just made a decision in your life. Okay, you made the decision privately. Water baptism now is saying publicly that I want to follow Jesus. It's a public decision. And so we lower you in the water. And it's symbolic. The old you before Jesus stays in the water and the new you comes up out of the water. It is a powerful, powerful time in the life of everyone who follows Jesus. And if you've never been water baptized, this is your next step. Now, I want you to hear from somebody in our church family who was baptized with us recently. Here is Santos' story. Watch this.
Hi, my name is Santos Quiñones Jr., and this is my story. My life before I came to church, I was totally lost in the world. I was full of darkness. I was a bad husband, and I was a bad father. And my son was the one that brought me to church. Never in my life I prayed before. But my son finally came to me and told me, Dad, you need to come to this church. So I came to see what he was talking about. And since the day I came, I am still there. I wanted to get baptized because I made the decision that I wanted to leave the old man in the water and I wanted my life to change in Christ Jesus. I was nervous of getting baptized. Just before I was getting baptized, I had to call upon my leaders to come and pray for me because I was nervous. And when I finally submerged in that water and came out of that water, I was a new man. I was set free, to tell you the truth. Set free completely. I offer everyone that comes to church that hasn't been baptized to get baptized, because that will be the best decision in their life. In the past 7 months, ever since I've been in this church, in 7 months, I have nothing but blessing and miracles upon my life. One of the miracles that happened to me while I was serving in the prayer ministry team, a brother from the prayer ministry team found out that I was doing everything, walking, going to work, walking, taking the buses, doing everything. And he said, no, Santos. He took me to his house and he blessed me with a car. It was truly a blessing. That right there tells you the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that only he could do those kinds of miracles and no other. So, my name is Santos, and change happened here.
Now, I can't promise you if you get baptized, you're going to get a car. Okay, I can't. I just want to be clear about that. But if you find keys in the tub, it's yours. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Now look, we would love to have you be water baptized in 2 weeks, right here with us on the weekend. Invite your friends, invite your family, have them celebrate with you. So all you got to do is sign up for it. So here's how you sign up. On our Miami Vineyard app, surprise, surprise, you go to the app. And on the app, if you open the app, you see at the very top of the app, it says baptism. And you just click that box and it'll take you through and you can sign up for baptism. If you're here in the room today and you have any questions about baptism at all, there's a couple tables set out here in the hallway. Go see those tables, talk to people. You can sign up at those tables as well, and they'll answer your question about baptism. We'd love to have you get baptized. Now, so if you've made a decision to follow Jesus, your next step is water baptism. Now, some of you, like me, you're baptized as a baby. I was also baptized as a baby. And baptized as a baby is cool, but this is a different baptism than that, because baptism as a baby, your parents decided for you to get baptized. But now once you've become a follower of Jesus yourself, now it's your turn to get baptized. So I'd invite you to get baptized again after you've made that decision. Some of you, you've been baptized the way I'm describing, as an adult or as a teen or as whatever. You've been baptized like that. But some of you, there's been a lot of life lived between the time you were baptized and where you find yourself today. And you're going, oh, Pastor Kevin, man, there's just something in me where I want to, like, I'm back again with God. Like, I'm like, you know, I was with him and then I kind of, and I'm back again. And Pastor Kevin, can I get baptized again? Yes, you can. Now, you don't have to, but you can get baptized again. Absolutely. And if this is you and this is what you want to do, I encourage you to sign up and get baptized again. And you're going to make you're just saying publicly that I'm following Jesus. Baptism is a fantastic time, happening in 2 weeks, right here on the weekend, during all three weekend services. Right during the service, we baptize during the worship time and people get lifted up in the water. We all cheer and we all yell. It's a really cool, celebrative kind of a time. So I invite you to get water baptized. So back to our story here, talking about three things, right? Three things that Samson did that cost him. First, Samson taunted the enemy. Second, he rationalized the sin. And third, if you're taking notes, Samson assumed his disobedience would never cost him. Remember, he told Delilah his secret. And then somebody came in to cut off his hair. And so he just assumed that his obedience would never cost him. He said, I've done it before. I'm going to do it again. Pick it up in verse 20. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are on you. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out and beat him up like I did before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. One of the saddest sentences in the entire Bible. He did not know that the Lord had left him. He didn't even realize things had changed. He had been walking in a certain direction for so long. He'd been taking these small steps for so long that he did not even realize. He was walking in the wrong direction for so long. He didn't even realize when his hair got shaved that the Lord had left him. He never even realized it. Now, God didn't stop loving him because God never stops loving us. But God's supernatural power left him. And now he was like any other human being. And they came in and cut his hair off. And look what they did in verse 21. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding in the prison. See, there will come a time in our lives. There will come a time when there will be a day of reckoning. Now, oftentimes it happens here on earth. We know from our lives, we know. We all got a story about how those little things we were doing eventually caught up to us. And there was a day of reckoning. A day of reckoning on the job. When he kept leaving the job early, and like we kept leaving the job early, and we kept leaving the job early, and we said, come on, I've been doing this for 6 months. They're never gonna catch me leaving early till one day you called in the office and you get your pink slip and you let go because you're leaving early. There will be a day of reckoning. There will be a day of reckoning. These little things will catch up to us. We assume they'll never catch us, but they did. So how did a man with such God-given potential end up in such a bad place? He didn't do it all at once. He did it one small step at a time. So here's my question for us today. What are we stepping away from God in? What is happening in our lives where we're stepping away from God? Is there anything in our lives where we're stepping away from God? And we know it can be little tiny things. It'd be a click of a mouse here or a click of a mouse there. It could be a text here or a text there. It could be anything. It could be anything in our lives. What is it? Now look, we might be taking some small steps this way, but look, here's what we have the option to do. We have the option to turn around. we got the option. We can turn around. We can head another direction. We can head another direction. We can turn around. And here's what I love. Here's what I love about God. God is the God of second chances. God is the God who allows U-turns. I don't care what it is that may be happening in your life. God is the God who allows U-turns. He redeems. He restores. This is the God we serve. This is the God. This is the God. This is the God. And so today, if there's anything going on in your life, you can just tell God today, God today, I want to make a turn. I want to make a turn. And I love this. I love this last verse. I love this last verse. Look at Judges 16, verse 22. But the hair on his head began to grow again. You know what this means? This means that God in his grace and God in his mercy, the hair on Samson's head began to grow again, which means the power of God was coming upon his life again. That's God. That's the God we serve. The hair on his head began to grow again. We're going to see next week how this plays out in Samson's life. You got to be here for part four. But today, for us right now, for us in this place, I just want to invite us to pray together right now. Can I just invite you maybe to close your eyes and bow your heads, just pray together right now. And as your heads are bowed, this is just a moment, an opportunity. And those of you joining online, if you can also take a moment, whatever place or space you're in, just take a moment just to bow your heads right now with us. God, I thank you for every person in this room today and joining me online today. I thank you, God, for the calling and the potential and the possibility that's within every person in this room today, oh God. But God, none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. But God, you are a God who forgives, and you are a God who restores. So today, God, we want to honor you with our choices and with our decisions, with our lives, with our bodies, with our minds, God, with our sex lives, with our finances. God, we want to honor you, God. We want to do this thing your way. God, we want to honor you today. So I just want to ask you a simple question today. What's your next step? What's your next step? Whatever your next step is, remember, it's just step by step. What's your next step? For some of you, your next step could be simply to say, Jesus Christ, I need you in my life. That's your next step. Just say a simple prayer. Say, Jesus, today I commit my life to you. Today, Jesus, I know I need you. I say yes to you, Jesus. That's your next step. For some of you, you've made that choice, but your next step today is to go all in. To say, Jesus, I'm going all in with you. I'm not going to go halfway in, three quarters of the way. I want to go all in with you, Jesus. That's your next step. For some of you, your next step is to get water baptized. You've heard about this before and you've rationalized it away. Go, that's for other people. That's not for me. It's for you. Your next step's to get water baptized. Oh, I'm going to get my hair all messed up. It's for you. It's for you. Water baptism is for you. And today's your day to sign up for water baptism and say, I'm going to get water baptized in 2 weeks. It's for me. It's for me. Maybe for some of you, it's joining a small group. Perhaps there's a habit or there's a hang up in your life that you know, it just keeps pulling you down again and again and again. Maybe you want to sign up for a small group we have here at the church called Celebrate Recovery, which helps you overcome habits and hurts and hang ups. Maybe that's your next step. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is for you, your next step. I want to invite you today to take that next step. Take that next step. And God, today, we also want to pray, God, for our neighbors to the north that are still going through, God, this terrible tragedy of Surfside and the building collapse. And God, the families of the victims and the loved ones and the first responders and the officials, God, and everybody making these decisions that have to happen, God, of this terrible tragedy. God, we pray for your power and your presence and your peace and your comfort. God to be upon every person affected by this event. And we pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.